Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lynchburg.
With no foreseeable use of the properties, we believe that it makes sense to try to put those on the market.
Moorhead State University will sell three surplus properties, including the old Sunnybrook Golf Course.
Moorhead's mayor says a downtown hotel will lead to a parking garage.
A junior high school student could be facing serious charges in Portsmouth.
Members of the Kentucky Republican Party are asking for no special session this month.
A former Moorhead historian has passed away.
In sports, the Saints and the Falcons face off for Thursday night football.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 20 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's Board of Regents voted to sell off three properties during their quarterly meeting today. Although the action will need state approval and official appraisals, the board voted to sell one unused building and two parcels of land. Vice President of Administration Beth Patrick says the board has the authority to make the sale if they deem the property to be unusable within the foreseeable future.
Those include the properties that was currently used as a Sunnybrook golf course, and then the former Corby Ellington Post 126 of the American Legion building, which is located just behind our Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. The third is an approximately 4-acre lot that's located just in front of the Office of Procurement, off State Route 32, Old Cranston Road.
Patrick says because the university does not have a use for those properties, it makes more sense to sell them than to try and maintain them.
A neighbor of a Moorhead company that often emits foul-smelling heavy smoke says that's a problem that the Kentucky Cabinet for Energy and the Environment needs to deal with. The thick black smoke that comes from Afterburners LLC occurs while the company is burning excess paint off racks given to it by the SRG Global plant. The cabinet has said it's checked into the situation repeatedly, and Afterburners is operating within the boundaries of state emissions laws. However, Doug Vaughn has made his complaints known on Facebook. Vaughn says he's talked a couple of times with officials from Afterburners about the issue, and he disputes the cabinet's claim that what the company is doing is okay.
One of the last times that I did talk to them, they said there's nothing they can do about it and that they're allowed to smoke for 6 minutes at a time. And that is actually recorded, and it's on one of the last Facebook posts. I have observed personally it going longer than 6 minutes.
Vaughn plans to revisit his complaint with the State Energy and Environment Cabinet. He maintains the smoke coming from Afterburners is a health hazard. Calls to Afterburners have not been answered.
If a hotel is eventually built in downtown Moorhead, the town's mayor says it's highly likely that a parking garage will come with it. Jim Tom Trent says constructing a parking garage makes sense since it would help make up for the parking places that would be lost because of a large-scale hotel project.
If you look at that, then probably there's going to have to be additional parking, and one of the ways to do it is to go vertical, because if you keep going what we're doing, you're taking away other property that can be developed and also where we could, you know, reap occupational taxes off of that or real estate and whatever.
Trent says the developers he's spoken with that are interested in Moorhead's downtown mention the need for a parking garage all the time. Moorhead officials continue to have conversations with a number of individuals considering building a hotel in the city's central business district near the conference center.
Never give out personal information to unknown callers. That's advice from Laurel County officials investigating a recent phone scam. WYMT reports a man is calling people claiming they have won a trip or prize. The Laurel County Sheriff's Office advises people to let the phone go to voicemail if they do not recognize the number.
A junior high school student in Portsmouth, Ohio, could be facing charges after bringing a BB gun to school. WSAZ reports a school staff member found the weapon in a student's locker this morning. Portsmouth police say the incident has been referred to the Scioto County Juvenile Court to see if criminal charges will be filed.
A Lexington school bus was involved in a serious crash this morning. WKYT reports no kids were on board when a car crashed into a bus on Squires Road around 7:30 a.m. Police say the car ran a stop sign before crashing into the side of the bus, causing it to tip onto its side and crash into a fence. The bus driver and monitor suffered minor injuries. The driver of the car was taken to the hospital with serious injuries.
A teenager was arrested in Laurel County yesterday after police say he shot a man in the leg. That man, a 38-year-old Timothy Smith, is expected to survive. Deputies believe the shooting was a result of an argument over a stolen weapon. Gilbert Osiargo is the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. He spoke this morning with WKYT.
We saturated the area with our deputies, and after less than an hour, we located the suspect with some information that we developed. We also found the gun where he had tried to hide the weapon from us.
The teen is charged with first-degree assault, wanton endangerment, tampering with physical evidence, and giving a false identity. He's housed in the Breathitt County Juvenile Detention Facility.
Several members of Kentucky's Republican caucus have written a letter asking Governor Matt Bevin to refrain from calling a special session this month. Representative Kim Moser says although it is important for lawmakers to address the pension issues, she feels a special session less than a month before the regular session would be a waste of taxpayer money. Moser tells Spectrum News Pure Politics a special session would cost Kentucky taxpayers $360,000 a week.
The things I'm hearing now are not necessarily new issues, and so we have made a lot of changes to the original proposal. What happens between the House and the Senate is I'm not privy to that, and so we'll just see. Hopefully we can come to a resolution that helps us solve this problem.
Moser admits the House sexual harassment scandal has served as a major distraction for legislatures at the same time they are trying to iron out an agreement with the pension issue.
Kentucky taxpayers need to pay nearly $1 billion extra over the next 2 years to keep solvent a retirement plan for most state workers. The Kentucky Employee Retirement System Board of Trustees told state lawmakers today they need to spend $2.8 billion over the next 2 years on a retirement plan that covers state workers and police officers. That's $954 million more than was required for the previous 2 years. Governor Bevin has proposed a more than 500-page bill to overhaul the pension system, but has been met with significant opposition among state employees and even within his own political party.
Rallies in support of net neutrality will take place in seven Kentucky cities over the next few days. The Federal Communications Commission will vote next Thursday on whether to lift rules that keep internet service providers from offering faster speeds to those who can pay more, which could put smaller businesses and nonprofit websites at a disadvantage. Here's Christopher Mitchell with the Community Broadband Networks Initiative.
The fear is that without network neutrality, without that protection, the internet service providers will have more power to charge you more to access certain sites or certain services. Historically, the example was that you might get charged more to use Netflix.
Mitchell worries without net neutrality, internet service providers may not keep consumers' best interests in mind.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A former Moorhead historian, professor, and minister has passed away. Dr. Donald Flatt died Monday at the Camden Clark Medical Center in Parkersburg. He was 80 years old. Dr. Flatt joined the Moorhead State University faculty in 1962 and retired after 40 years of distinguished work as an educator and department chair. Dr. Flatt also published several scholarly works, including three books on the history of Moorhead State University. Also recognized for his work as an evangelist, Dr. Flatt served as a minister for more than 50 years. Funeral services will be conducted tomorrow at 1 p.m. at the Northcutt Sun Memorial Chapel in Moorhead.
Applications are still being accepted for the position of Carter County Emergency Management Director. The position became vacant after the Carter County Fiscal Court decided to terminate Tommy Thompson last month during a special session. Thompson acted as both the Emergency Management and E-911 Director during his tenure at Carter County. Judge Executive Mike Malone says this caused conflict the county didn't need.
Having both duties vested in one man became a conflict. The 911 director was on the scene in as emergency management, and then our radios went out at the same time. So it needs to be two different hats rather than one person wearing two hats.
The application process will remain open until Monday at 6 p.m., Carter County Sheriff Jeffrey May is currently acting as the temporary E-911 director.
Those interested in responding to a survey about the 2018-19 Fleming County school calendar have only until tomorrow at 5 p.m. to do so. Superintendent Brian Kreisman says the district has been asking the community, faculty, staff, students, and parents for their input on the matter.
It's just invaluable when we can go to the Board of Ed and say, look, we've had 504 participants. This is what they've told us. This is the calendar they want. And when we do that, and as years pass, the board is very appreciative of that.
Kreisman says over 500 people have responded to the calendar survey thus far. Once all of the surveys are in, the information in them will be reviewed by the Fleming District Calendar Committee. It will then make recommendations to the local school board, which will make the final decision on the matter.
The Mason County School System is looking at a second nickel tax. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Superintendent Rick Ross says the revenue from the additional tax increase will go towards renovations and maintenance of several of the school district's buildings, including some that need new roofs and HVAC systems. The tax rate for 2017 was 48.8 cents on real and personal property, which brought around $6 million to the district. The new nickel tax would jump that up to 54.9 cents and would generate almost $7 million in revenue, with $1.25 million coming from personal property. The school board will meet at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, December 18th at the Straub Elementary School to discuss the matter. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 20 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny with highs near 34. Friday night, mostly clear with lows around 20. And on Saturday, a 50% chance of snow showers, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 36 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 40 degrees. In Winchester, 36. Inez, 41. Flemingsburg, 36. Lexington, 37. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 37 degrees.
One of the toughest and most demanding areas of study at Moorhead State University is pre-veterinary science. It takes years of commitment and sacrifice, and it's not for the faint of heart. On our feature segment today, David Patrick from the Office of Communications and Marketing introduces us to a young woman who has her sights on vet school and a career in veterinary medicine.
The Derrickson Agricultural Complex is a major source of pride for Moorhead State University. The 350-acre working farm also serves as a laboratory for some of the institution's best and brightest students, including Georgetown, Kentucky native Taylor Sharp.
I came to Moorhead because it has a really good ag program. I had been dead set on going to UK for a while, but once I actually got there, I realized it was huge, and that just wasn't for me, and I really liked the small hometown feel of Moorhead. Whenever I came to visit, everybody was just really nice. It felt like a little family, honestly, like a place that I'd never even been before, and people are coming up to me saying hi, like, how are you? Do you need any help with anything? And so I automatically felt welcomed. So I knew I wanted to be a part of this program.
Sharp is a sophomore pre-veterinary science major. Her dream job is to become a veterinarian and own her own clinic. For Sharp, the outstanding reputation of the pre-vet program, coupled with the farm itself, set MSU apart from other schools.
It really impresses me that we have our own farm to go out and do labs. Next semester, I'm going to take a horseback riding class, so I thought that was really cool. And everybody in the program, they help you get through anything you need.
MSU Professor of Veterinary Technology, Dr. Phil Prater, is Sharp's academic advisor.
Taylor is in a program that I think is probably the most difficult program on campus, and that is pre-veterinary vet science. And you need to have students like Taylor who are very dedicated, they're very intelligent, but really the biggest thing is they're really focused. Veterinary medicine is, you deal with animals, but it's very much a people business because there's always somebody attached to the end of the lead shank or the end of the leash, and you have to know how to deal with people. She has all those people skills, which are huge. It's not just knowing about the animals, but it's really knowing about people and how they interact in their relationship with their animals, and she has a very good, deep understanding of that.
Sharp says she'd always heard positive things about Dr. Prater as both a professional and a person prior to arriving on campus. And once she met him, she understood why.
In high school, I worked at a vet for a couple years. Like, I started co-oping, but then I decided I still liked it, and I continue to work there. And a couple of the vets that I work with actually know Dr. Prater, and they just always talked about how nice of a guy he is. And then I came and I met him. Like, he's my advisor now. And he really is just a super nice dude. He'll help you with anything. Like, and even if you're struggling, he'll tell you, like, oh, maybe you should try this or try this. So he'll get you through it.
Dr. Prater says Sharp is a very focused young woman, and that is a necessity when it comes to gaining entry to vet school.
She has long future goals in mind as opposed to more short-term goals, and that's what it really has to take. You got to keep your eye on the prize. And the prize for Taylor is getting into veterinary school, so she does a really good job with that.
Although Morehead State was not her first choice, Sharp knows that she made the right decision by coming here and would recommend the institution to anyone, especially with a career goal of veterinary medicine.
Morehead was really everything I expected and even more. Like, I never expected to just, like, this is only my sophomore year, and automatically I just felt so included and so happy to be here. Like, I go home now and in the summer, and I tell my mom all the time, like, I want to go back to Morehead. Like, I miss Morehead and I want to be there. So it really is everything I wanted out of it. I would encourage anybody to at least come and tour Morehead and, like, just have a look around, get to know some people. It's got a really good ag and biology department, and the art and design and teaching. Really, it's just an all-around great school and a great place to be. And you get here and you automatically just feel at home.
Reporting from the Derrickson Agricultural Complex, I'm David Patrick for Morehead State Public Radio.
It's 4:48 and 37 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consumer